T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL draft indeed coming up at 5 o'clock today. You won't miss a single pick during our program. We will keep you up to date on all of the selections. Joining us now on the SDCCU fan hotline, our great friend from Bleacher Report, Matt Camp, joins us to talk a little National Football League. Matt, how are you? Good to talk to you again,
sir. Long time, Matt.
Hey, guys, good to talk to you again. I was going to take the bullet and take the Madden cover so nobody has to worry about the injuries, but they thought Mahomes would sell a few more.
Yeah, they probably were right on that one, man.
Maybe just, yeah. But maybe for fantasy picks, you ought to just keep that in mind before you pick Mahomes next year. Just in case.
Everybody's going to take him too early. I'll tell you that right now. It's a hot, exciting pick. He scored all those points, but we say it every year. You can find quarterbacks. Hey, you found him in 2018. I'm not saying somebody's going to take the league by storm like that, but he's going to get overdrafted. I'm going to tell you that right now, regardless of if he's on a Madden cover or not.
That's a great point, because I don't believe he was even drafted in our draft last year. I really don't. I think the guy who ended up with him picked him up about week 3 and then carried it all the way to the championship game, if I'm not mistaken. That's how it always works in fantasy. So you never know.
You could find those guys, no doubt about it.
Yeah. What are you hearing about the draft with about 90 minutes to go? I mean, it's such a guessing game. I think a lot of people try to make us feel like they know what's going to happen, but they don't know what's going to happen because teams aren't going to tell them what they're going to do. And we've heard so many different things about Kyler Murray now in the last maybe hour and a half. Seemed like a slam dunk this morning. Now I'm not so sure it is. What do you think?
They're not going to tell us. You're 100% right. I love that. Well, their board's not set yet. They're not sure yet. If you're stepping up to Thursday night and you've been sitting on this for months, you think they don't know already. They didn't know days ago. I think they are well aware of what's going on. But because they already sit there with a quarterback who they traded up for in the first round last year, they're not going to mess with any kind of trade negotiations, any kind of, advantage you might say that they have over teams that are looking for a quarterback. Maybe like the New York Giants, maybe the Washington Redskins, maybe the Miami Dolphins, maybe a team like the Los Angeles Chargers who might set themselves up for the future. I'm not saying they're ready to push Rivers out the door, but I think we've seen with a lot of these teams, look at Nick Foles in Philadelphia, now in Jacksonville, obviously, Teddy Bridgewater, New Orleans. Some of these teams might say, you know, the backup position is very important to us, and if we think we have a championship roster, we're going to invest in that position, and maybe the Chargers think that way. Now, the Giants seem to be the most interested in a quarterback, regardless of what they say about Eli Manning, based on the visits and workouts. No team looked at more quarterbacks or took more visits than the Giants at the quarterback position. That's not a surprise at all. When it comes to Kyler Murray, he's going to be, I think, an Arizona Cardinal. Obviously, Kingsbury kind of said that, and guys, you know, I remember months ago, it was only one quarterback's going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if we see 3 or 4 go tonight with Murray being on the top of the board. Now, from a fantasy perspective, the Cardinals are not a very good team, but I think they have an offensive-minded, more forward-thinking coaching staff led by Kingsbury compared to the mess that was there last year. We know what that did for David Johnson. So I'm not saying Kyler Murray's going to be a day-one fantasy starter, but when in doubt, I say this all the time, I talk to you guys about this, if you're hitting the waiver wire, at quarterback, look for legs. Lamar Jackson was nothing special last year, but he had fantasy value because he could run. Kyler Murray is a better prospect than Lamar Jackson, and he's going to be in there very likely from day one as the guy. And maybe you look at some of the matchups, look at a bad team like Arizona and say, well, if they're playing from behind, he might run a lot. He might get me 60, 70 yards. There's 6 or 7 points right there that maybe he doesn't throw for 250 or 300 yards, but can make up for it there. So he's a guy that would be on the fantasy radar as someone you draft as a backup, as someone you take in best ball league, even on a bad team. I do think up in Arizona, and I do think he'll be the only rookie quarterback in 2019 with any real fantasy value.
Bleacher Report's Matt Camp joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Matt, I sat and watched Dave Gentleman go on a rant about taking the best available prospect. He said he had been burned looking at it otherwise before. When you look at this draft, is there a can't miss guy that you know teams are locked in on as far as best position, the best player available?
I don't think there is that guy, and I look at this from the fantasy perspective, so the skill positions of quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. I don't really think there's that guy in this draft. Now, certain positions feel a little bit deeper. Tight end, the position we've been begging for help in. You and I, we talked about this during the season last year, begging for help, and this year we're going to get that help. Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson are the tight ends out of Iowa. They're going to be very high up the board. Very well could go tonight. Irv Smith Jr. from Alabama. Now, a player I like, Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M. If these guys land in the right spot, oh, by the way, the world champs are looking for a new wide receiver and a new tight end. The Patriots are. Imagine any of these young players landing there. They're going to have immediate fantasy value. So I'll say this, Tony. I would say that the position at tight end is deeper than it's been. I don't think there's a one guy that's a blow-away player anywhere in this draft. This is more of kind of a boring draft. There's edge rushers here. There's good defensive tackles. Now, I get that with Bosa and players like that. But if you're thinking about this from a fantasy perspective, a lot of this is going to come down to where these players land, because fit is going to matter. Opportunity is going to matter with these rookies.
Matt Camp, Bleacher Report, SDCCU Fan Hotline. Don't forget, start dialing in 833-288-0973. We are going to be doing our trivia here in about 10 minutes. Your chance to win Dodgers Padres tickets. Right now, though, the draft is coming up. It's a little over an hour away. You know, I look back at last year when Saquon Barkley was taken with a second overall pick. And, Matt, I'm always a little bit questionable on picking rookies, even if they're great running backs, great wide receivers, even great quarterbacks. I always think somehow I'm not going to get my money's worth fantasy-wise. Well, Saquon Barkley proved us all wrong last year. My goodness, he was one of the best fantasy players in all of the National Football League. Am I correct to say that there's nobody near Saquon Barkley coming into the league this year?
You would be correct about that. If you do look at the running back position, though, I feel like the consensus number one prospect this year is Josh Jacobs out of Alabama. And part of the knock on him is that he didn't play a lot, 251 carries in college. And I look at that and go, oh, so he wasn't overly worked in college. He'll be pressure coming to the NFL level. And then I say that and go, okay, so who's looking for help at running back in the first round? I think Oakland is the team that he's been closely connected to. Obviously, Marshawn retiring, a new-look offense there, and maybe they're after Haskins at quarterback as well, but Antonio Brown there, Tyrell Williams, the former Charger there. That could be a spot where he lands and he plays right away, and guys' opportunity goes a long way. I will say this. The running back position in the NFL draft is the one you have to pay the closest attention to all 3 days of the NFL draft when it comes to fantasy, because when you're hitting that waiver wire and you get to week 12 and you go, I've never heard of this guy before, he was a sixth-round pick, it doesn't matter, because if he's getting 15 carries that week, he's going to be worthy of being in fantasy lineups. So day one, day two, day three are going to matter at the running back position. I don't think it's going to be a very busy night tonight at running back outside of Josh Jacobs. David Montgomery, Iowa State, is a name to keep an eye on. I also like Miles Sanders at Penn, from Penn State, a guy who played behind Barkley. Once again, didn't have a lot of work, less than 300 carries at Penn State. And he could be the number two option in the draft this year. And once again, if he falls in the right spot, we just mentioned Oakland. Does Houston look to upgrade over a guy like Lamar Murray? Buffalo there has aging guys in LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore. Tampa Bay missed last year on Ronald Jones and now has a new coach in Bruce Arians. So opportunity could go a long way, guys, when it comes to these running backs having fantasy value from week one on.
Matt, we've heard that the Redskins owner is going to, quote unquote, take over the first round. What do you think about when you hear that?
Especially when the owner's Daniel Snyder.
You guys want to take over for him? Because they do a hell of a lot better than Daniel Snyder taking over. Look, owners should stay the heck out of the way. Bob Kraft certainly has his own activities off the field, but he stays away from the football aspect of it, and he lets the football guys do the football things. The best owners do that. I mean, I know what Jerry Jones has done, and he's got GM owner next to his name. That's not Daniel Snyder. Daniel Snyder is not a football guy, but he's a guy that is in there for the business end, and he did this with RG3. And there was some success there. I hate hearing this. They pick at 15, obviously, as we know. They pick again at 46 in the second round. They have four picks in the first 2 days of the draft, and they need help absolutely everywhere. Obviously, the Alex Smith signing did not work out, and his injury is massive there. But as I look at Washington, I say, well, they need a wide receiver. They need an inside wide receiver. They need a tight end. They need a quarterback. And that's going to be tough to sell tickets if they don't have a quarterback. And maybe that's where Daniel Snyder is looking and saying, I have a massive stadium to fill, and I have Case Keenum at quarterback right now. That's where you get in trouble in the long term. And if they decide to move up for 15 to go get a quarterback, I think it's going to be trouble for the Washington Redskins. So I never like hearing that a guy who is not a football person is taking over the first round, even if it's a billionaire like Daniel Snyder.
That's too much logic you're giving there, Matt. That just makes too much sense for a non-football guy not to make football decisions.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys can't let go. And that's why their teams are where the Washington Redskins are. Yep. on a continual basis. They never quite get where they want to go. Hey, Matt, we always get where we want to go thanks to your insight. Appreciate it. Great catching up with you. Enjoy the draft tonight. And we'll look forward. We'll break down some fantasy stuff once everybody gets settled in the next week or so.
Enjoy it, guys. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again real soon, hopefully.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got Coach in the studio waiting for us. Coach,
how are we doing, gentlemen? Today? I'm doing good, but I'd like slushy number three.
I can't help you with that because all the slushies are going to me and Chris. Although Chris might be in trouble here.
What is going on?
He's suffering from serious brain freeze right now.
These slushies are so good.
You know, I've been reading your guys' liner for this event all week. And, you know, as I was coming back to the station because we're going to do a Facebook live draft show starting at 5 o'clock, I thought about driving by there, but it was pretty crowded, and so I made my way to the station. But you guys sound great, and glad you're out there today.
Thank you, Coach. You have Lolita's high school update for us, huh?
Yeah, kind of an interesting story. A lot of the fans may have seen it today in the paper. Our buddy and I, John Maffey real well from the Union Tribune, has been writing sports here, I think, since Abe Lincoln was president. You know, he's done an incredible job on an article today on a boy that pitches up at Mountain Empire High School, which isn't one of those baseball factor in town. A young man by the name of Trevor Elliott. He's a senior. He's been on the varsity since the 2016 season. And the other day, he moved into sole possession of second place for the most strikeouts in the history of San Diego County baseball. Right now, he has 406. He passed up a guy, Tony, you know pretty well, Ian Clarkin from Madison, with 402. Ian eventually was a number one pick of the Yankees. He's now in Double A right now with the Chicago Cubs. The leader, he's not going to get to because he'll probably have maybe one more start during the regular season and then get an opportunity to start a game or two in the postseason, is Michael Fagan. He was a left-handed pitcher, and I remember him real well. He pitched at San Diego Jewish Academy back in 2007 to 2010, and I remember him because Buddy Black, when he was managing the Padres, he said to me one day, he goes, yeah, I got to go out and take a look at this pitcher tomorrow up at San Diego Jewish Academy. And then I started following Michael, and he went to Princeton and graduated, went there for 4 years, and then he spent about 3 years in the Oakland A's organization. So he's the all-time leader in San Diego with 495 strikeouts, and now Trevor Elliott passing Ian Clarkin from Madison with 406. And again, he's at Mountain Empire. He throws somewhere in the neighborhood of 84 to 86, but his key pitch has got a really, really good slider. And, you know, we got to give love to some of these smaller schools that, you know, aren't a baseball factory in the spring.
I have been to Mountain Empire many, many, many times to referee basketball games. Do you know it snows up there, Coach?
Oh, yeah, I do.
It snows at Mountain Empire.
Hey, they give you mileage when you go out there, don't you?
I don't know. I don't ask for anything. I just have a great time, and I love going out to Mountain Empire, and I'm glad that we're talking a little bit about those kids because they're way – I mean, it's way out there. You get on the 8 East, and you just – like, next stop, Arizona – And then somehow you drive onto the campus and it's snowing. And you're like, how did I get up into the mountains? I didn't even know. It's called Mountain Empire. I guess I ought to figure that it's a mountain. But that's extra special because this kid doesn't get to play baseball all year round like the rest of the kids in the county do because he's got to deal with the weather.
Yeah, he did pretty well. He played club ball last summer. I know he threw at least one no-hitter. What's interesting, and in the article today it talked, you know, he doesn't have a scholarship or anything right now. I know Point Loma Nazarene's talking to him, UCSD's talked to him, and, you know, they've got an all-star game coming up in early June at Petco Park for all the best players in San Diego. You could be a sophomore or a junior or a guy that's just getting ready to graduate. They played that game last year at Petco Park, and it was a lot of fun. They're going to do it again, and I would certainly think Trevor Elliott is sure going to get an opportunity to be on one of those teams, I would certainly think, with the high school career he's had.
Well, the one thing I just want to mention to all of our listeners who hear you, obviously filled in for both Tony and myself on this show and your Lolita's High School Report every week, but I want to make sure everybody is aware now that our own Coach K, that's what I'm calling you now.
Coach K.
I'm calling you Coach K now.
I started that.
Tony started that. Our own Coach K, John Quintera, is now hosting the morning show, and there is no better way to head on into work in the morning than just relaxing and listening to Coach John Quintera talk about sports. Coach, you're so beloved in this town, and I am so happy that you have this opportunity. And I tell you what, I get up early now, so now I have something to listen to in the mornings as I'm walking around, and you're doing a great job in the mornings. I want to make sure everybody knows and tunes in to your show in the mornings on 97.3 The Fan. That's fantastic.
They also need to know that Coach K will have manager Andy Green on tomorrow at 8 a.m. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'm looking forward to that. I haven't talked to Andy in a while. It'll be a lot of fun. A lot to talk about with this ball club, and a lot of talk of, you know, some of the guys that have been coming up and going down and kind of where they factor in with this ball club right now.
Well, our Friar Fridays always kick off in the mornings at 8 o'clock, and tomorrow the coach will have Andy Green on, and he'll call you Coach, right?
That's probably.
It's always my favorite that everybody calls him Coach. even when they're Major League coaches, they call him Coach. He is always the coach.
That's the kind of standing that Coach Quintera is in. Coach, we appreciate you coming on, man. We'll catch up soon.
Hey, you guys, I love you. And, you know, you guys really giving me a lot of love the last year that I've been here. And, you know, we're going to try to make this morning show go for a while. And always great to be with you. And, Chris and Tony, thanks for the nice compliment.
Hey, we love working with you, Coach. And anytime you need me to come on and, you know, throw the show out of whack a little bit, just give me a call.
Yeah, we'll bring you on and we'll talk about officiating.
How perfect.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, boys.
There he is. Our own Coach K.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is where things get scary. We're about to hand the show off to Mr. Matt Scraby.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The folks out here want you to put these skates on, Scraby.
Wait, no.
They want you to put the skates on, Scraby.
They want you to put these skates on. We're at Sonic. You should be doing the Big Five with the rollerblades on. Come on now, I told you guys
I can't get them on my feet.
I don't believe you.
I do not believe you. Take off your socks. Do what you've got to do.
No, I'm not taking off my socks.
Do what you've got to do to get those things on.
See, I'm trying. I can't get them on.
Knock it off.
Scraby.
Scraby!
Can't get them on. So sad, isn't it?
Well,
so
just
sad.
At least do the Big Five with what
one
you got.
One skate on? Okay. All right.
Try not to eat all the Sonic food during the Big Five.
No, I already did that. Thomas?
Number five.
Thank you very much. The New York Yankees defeated the LA Angels on Wednesday night fighting back from a 5-0 deficit to win 6-5, but after the game, manager Aaron Boone announced yet another Yankee was headed to the injured list. Yes, Clint Frazier, who had a pretty good start to the season, had an ankle injury the other night. He is the 13th Yankees player put on the injured list this year. Tony, with all this injury going on with the New York Yankees, do you think they will make the playoffs?
Yep, I do. Because even with all these injuries, they're still sitting at the top of the division. So I think ultimately this team is really deep. The injuries, if you're going to have injuries, you want them at the very beginning of the season. They got enough talent, though, to plug holes just to stay afloat. Red Sox aren't playing that great right now, so that also helps. Tampa starting to come back down to earth a little bit after the tremendous start they got off to. My guess is that, yes, the Yankees will still make the playoffs despite 13 early season injuries.
Chris?
There's four teams that are guaranteed to make the playoffs in the American League, and the Yankees are one of those four. The Red Sox, the Indians, and the Astros are the others. And there's one more spot that everyone's fighting for.
Right.
And right now, the Mariners have the inside track on that because they're off to a good start. But it's just going to be – the American League is kind of like the NBA's Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
There's four teams, yeah, I think, that are just so much better than everybody else. So the injuries are going to make it more challenging for the Yankees, but they'll get there.
Number four, please.
Number four.
By the way, I did get one of these skates on. I got one of the skates on.
We got action.
There we go.
So I'll try to get the other one on because we're going to be talking about Magic Johnson right now. He's been tweeting freely ever since he quit the Lakers and is now tweeting some cryptic messages. He tweeted, quote, "The truth will always come to light." And this comes after there are some reports that the reason he quit, we talked about a little bit earlier, is that Jeannie Buss and GM Rob Pelinka were talking bad about Magic, but keeping him on the emails. But no one knows really, which is so weird, but no one knows if this is true, but, you know, everything always has a little bit of truth behind it. And now one of the reasons LeBron came to the Lakers is now gone, which is Magic, and he isn't too happy. He said he was blindsided by it, and people are thinking that he might be very angry with the Lakers organization. So, Chris, do you see Magic Johnson back with the Lakers organization soon?
No, I do not. Not soon.
Even if LeBron says
it?
Hang
on, I got slushy all over me. God, it's so good.
Why is it on your forehead?
I know I'm supposed to drink it, but I'm swimming in the slushy at the moment here. Oh, everybody get down there to Sonic and just have some fun. No, I don't think Magic Johnson can be back with the Lakers anytime soon. That makes no sense to me.
LeBron's mad, though, and LeBron gets what he wants.
He's not going to get that. I mean,
he can't control people's will.
Yeah, I mean, these Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka don't really care for Magic Johnson. They obviously made it clear in a bunch of emails that Magic saw. And Magic made it pretty clear that he doesn't need this Laker thing. I see no reason for him to come back at this point. Magic Johnson doesn't do things that are going to make him look bad, and I think that would make him look bad.
Tony?
First of all, isn't BCCing somebody, isn't that the most passive-aggressive way?
No, you're not supposed to BCC someone.
But they did, though. They BCC'd him on every one of these emails, apparently.
You might as well just address it to him.
That's what I'm saying. It's passive-aggressive. So that's the first thing. Second thing, Ron has sent out on Instagram. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I did not.
With the First Take TV show going, talking about his relationship being dysfunctional with the Lakers, yelling at the TV, "That's not true!"
And yeah. Then, oh, I did see this. Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, we and then you had Stephen A. Smith get on the air today and basically challenge him to come onto the show and refute it. So that's
one
a
way
whole
of getting
thing.
A guy on the show.
Right, exactly.
You mean something that Stephen A. Smith was yelling on that show might not be true?
That's hard to believe. That seems to be what LeBron is saying.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I agree with Chris. Why would Magic go back to this? Like, it was clearly a stressful thing for him, probably one of the more stressful things that he has going in his business life as it is. So I don't see him coming back.
Like, if I got let go from the Lakers, I'd probably have no other options. So if somebody said, "Can you come back?" I'd probably come back.
Like, absolutely.
But Magic Johnson, a little different situation than we are.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to number three.
Number three.
One team that is not waiting for the Clippers-Warriors series to end is the Houston Rockets, because they are going to travel to the Bay Area tomorrow and attempt to be prepared as possible for a potential Game 1 against the Golden State Warriors on Sunday. The Rockets said they intend no disrespect to the Clippers, but everybody is saying this is massive disrespect. And here comes the scraby question. Tony, is this going to bring bad juju to the Rockets?
No, the Rockets did what they were supposed to do. They went and whooped Utah in five games, and now they get the luxury of picking where they want to fly too early. That is...
But what if they have to fly back?
Fortunately for them, you know, flying back to Houston won't be that long of a flight.
It's like a three-hour flight.
Yeah, they're flying.
Oh, that'll take it all.
They're flying charter, and I can promise you they all have first-class seats. It's probably not a bad deal for them.
Fine.
So, no, I don't think this is... Listen, Clippers don't seem to really need any motivation. They are already taking the Warriors to a game six here when nobody in... They were the biggest underdog in the history of playoffs basketball. Yeah. So they don't need any more fodder to get them going. They're already there.
Chris?
You're going to be surprised by this answer, Scraby.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's a little bad juju for the Rockets.
Yes!
A little tiny bit of bad juju.
Just a little tiny bit.
Yeah, not like endless... Not like going to wreck their chances to win the next series. But it's kind of like when we go to Las Vegas every year with the Mountain West Conference tournament with the women's basketball team. We get an itinerary for the entire week all the way through winning the championship game. Even if the team came in like ninth place and has very little chance of doing that. Because it would be bad... to suggest anything but that
right.
in the itinerary that you're coming home early. So I think to a certain extent, Houston is kind of saying to the Clippers, we don't think you can win, so we're going to go up to Oakland and get ready to play the Warriors. So, yeah, I do. There's a tiny bit of bad juju there, yes.
Even though everybody on the planet is thinking the same exact thing? You still think
yes.
it's bad juju?
Yes, even though everybody is thinking the same thing, because if somehow the Clippers win... and knock out the Warriors, it's going to be one of the greatest
Jim
upsets
Russell
in sports
will
history.
Will never want to see me.
No.
He will never want to see me if Golden State loses this series.
He will hide.
All right. Number two. Don't really need much explanation to this one. Just give me a number so we can or a name so we can move on.
There you go.
Because
trying to
Kyler,
rush us through the Big Five
well,
again.
Well, I mean, we got like 2 minutes. Well, Kyler Murray, he was going to be a baseball player before a football player. So here are some guys who were baseball players that are now football players. And you tell me which one you think would be the best baseball player out of these guys, okay? And, Chris, you're up first. Tom Brady, he was drafted by the Montreal Expos in round 18. Michael Vick was an outfielder drafted by the Colorado Rockies in round 30. Colin Kaepernick was a pitcher by the Cubs, drafted by the Cubs in round 43. Russell Wilson is a shortstop by the drafted by the Orioles in round 41, and John Manziel was a shortstop drafted by the San Diego Padres in round 28. So, Chris, which of those guys do you think would be, in a fantasy world, the best baseball player?
I will go with absolutely no reasoning at all with Russell Wilson.
That's actually good. I've seen him play baseball. He looks
just seemed like he could play some baseball.
I'm going with Russell Wilson. He's the only real baseball player out of the bunch that just
he's the only guy
he
I've
didn't
ever
just
seen
throw hard
in a uniform.
Like
right?
every one of those other guys you named, just threw really hard. So you know, scouts love that. They want flamethrowers. Russell Wilson, on the other hand, played baseball collegiately, and you know, although he was a soft hitting infielder, he probably had a better shot than the other guys you know.
Tom Brady is going to be a 6'6" catcher.
Oh my
Jeez.
God. I can see Tom just getting rolled over at the plate before they change the rules.
That's okay, though. The umpire'd pick him up.
All right. Let's go to number one.
Number one.
Now, this one's a little bit tough. We've talked about Tyreek Hill yesterday, but there is apparently a tape out with him talking to his fiance, and it has his voice saying things like that she better be terrified of him. That the son said that his that daddy, quote unquote, daddy did it when he's asking about his broken arm. She also talks about how his son gets hit in the chest when he cries, stuff like that. So we don't need to go any further. The tape is going to be released in full tonight. So, Tony, should the Chiefs be disciplined if Tyreek Hill is proven to be in his in this tape?
The Chiefs?
The Chiefs, because of their kind of a history with these guys.
No. You asked the same question yesterday.
I did not.
Basically, you did. I don't think the Chiefs should be punished, but Tyreek Hill should certainly be punished. Listen,
organizations... Can you cut him for this?
Huh?
Do you cut him for this, if this is him? They had to cut...
Yes, I would say so. I would. It's a child involved, ultimately, right?
Yeah.
If you release... who'd they release?
I was just thinking of...
Kareem Hunt.
Yes.
Kareem Hunt. If you release Kareem Hunt for doing it to an adult, for you know, hurting another adult, you definitely got to do it for hurting a child. Broke a child's arm, a three-year-old at that.
Yeah.
I actually think the more I hear myself talk about it, the more it's a no-brainer.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not putting him on the cover of the media guide. You know? I mean, this is not what I want the face of my organization to look like. I did read something today where Tyreek Hill was interviewed and said, I'm just trying to be the best man that I can be, which is noble, but if you're going to...
coming up well short.
You're not getting there, and if you're going to try and be the best man you should be, you're going to have to do it while you're not playing football. I mean, the NFL has got to step in on this and do something, and the Chiefs are not going to be able to go in any other direction other than to follow what happens.
My prediction is once this tape is released tonight, I'm giving it 24 to 48 hours before he's probably cut.
Yeah. I mean, that's really crazy. It just sticks, listen, it just thinks that there's another team that's going to go pick him up. You know, and the Chiefs are kind of be
and
out.
The NFL is going to allow that. That's exactly the other thing that's annoying.
I think the end of the music means we're done.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
All right.
We got to get out of here, take a break. 5 o'clock. We're going to reset at the top of this. All right, we got the draft. We'll start. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ella, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, Padres fans. Now's your time to ask the experts.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Gwynn and Chris answer all your questions about the Padres.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Padres Pen Pal starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
So this segment is getting bigger and bigger by the week. You guys not believe me?
Not really.
Okay. All right. I figured that. Well, what this is that people can reach out to me or reach out to Tony and Chris and ask questions about the Padres so that the experts are the ones who can answer your questions. So this week, the Facebook group was really in a tizzy because of the 6-game losing streak. So let's get into the first one, Thomas. This one is from Justin Canellis. He says, do you guys think Francisco Mejia is going to get down on himself because he isn't seeing much success at bat? Tony, you're up first.
Hit me the question again.
Do you think Francisco Mejia is going to get down on himself because he isn't much success at bat?
That's definitely a possibility. As I said from the very beginning, that this was going to be a very difficult role for him to be in unless... we have a pick, apparently. Rashawn Gary out of Michigan.
Defensive end. Move on.
So it says.
Packers.
Might be an outside linebacker. We'll see when they break it down. But back to Francisco Mejia. I said from the very beginning, because I've been in this situation before, as a young prospect, you come up, you have no rhythm, you're coming off the bench. And at first he was playing, what, once every third game? And it's kind of dwindled less and less. I can see in the very near future that he goes back to AAA.
Ooh.
In order to get at consistent at bats.
And Hedges is hitting well. Right
Hedges
now.
Is hitting better.
Yeah.
You can always bring up Chris Stewart, who's down in AAA right now, who has played at the big league level, has been a backup at the big league level, knows how to handle it. I actually think it's probably better for Francisco Mejia to go down and get those at bats.
Chris, what do you think?
First of all, Mejia had almost as much to do with the great game that Paddock pitched yesterday as Paddock did. He caught a fantastic ball game. And credit to him for doing that, because he's not hitting much, he's not playing much, but he still went out there and played a tremendous game behind the plate. And that showed me a lot about Mejia yesterday. You know my feeling, I've been a Mejia fan the whole way. I'd like to see him playing a whole lot more. But Tony's right. If he's not going to play more, then he needs to go play more, which is back to AAA.
Yeah.
And to answer the actual question, do I think he'll get down on himself? I think the best answer to that is he had better not get too down on himself. It's certainly understandable, but you got to be your own biggest fan, I think, to be successful at this in this league. You better still think you're pretty darn good, even if you are struggling. So I'm really rooting for Mejia.
Me too.
They gave up their all-star closer for him, and I know that they have one now in Kirby Yates, but they gave up a lot to get this guy, and I'd like to see him get a chance.
I actually read something online the other day from some of the fans saying that they think At this point in time, the Indians won the deal between the Padres and the Indians for Padres getting Mejia and giving up Brad Hand and
Simber.
Simber, yeah, and then the Indians giving up Mejia. Who do you think has won that trade so far?
I think it's a push. Here's why. Brad Hand was Brad Hand, right? Simber, I'm not sure what type of year he's having. But for what the Padres needed at the time, I think the deal was needed to be made. Kirby Yates isn't sitting the top of the saves board if Brad Hand is still here.
Sure.
You don't keep a closer for the most part if your team is not going to be very good. You use that closer to get a piece. Now, we could argue if Francisco Mejia was the right piece to bring back, but I think you get rid of the closer if your team is not very good.
Chris, anything to add on that?
Yeah, I think that there's a little to the fact that Cleveland's getting a little more out of that trade at this point, but it's way too early to put a final analysis on it.
I think also you have to keep in mind that whenever you trade a guy who's established in the big leagues and a guy who hasn't at the time really had a lot of big league experience,
the established guy is going to win the trade for a while.
For a while, right?
Right.
That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and also, you can ask Padres Pen Pal questions live if you want. 833-288-0973. Please give us a call and let us know what your questions are. But let's, for now, move on to our next Pen Pal. That writing in is Nick McNulty. He's saying, fair trade, too much, or not enough. Toronto Blue Jays, they will get Logan Allen, Cal Quantrill, Naylor, and Sawinski. And the Padres will get Stroman and Winkowski. So what do you think, Chris, first? Is that a fair trade, too much, or not enough for the Padres?
Who are the Padres giving up?
They're giving up Logan Allen, Cal Quantrill, and
both
Naylor. Josh Naylor and Sawinski.
Yeah, way too much. Way too much. I think three potential stars for one established, very good pitcher is way too much. That's my first thought on that.
What do you think, Tony?
My initial thought is that it's too much, but then I start thinking about the going rate for a guy like Marcus Stroman. It's probably about right. In the Padres' case, I think Naylor's a good piece to move because where is he going to play at the big league level? I would be hesitant on Logan Allen for sure. I really would. I really like him. I know he struggled towards the end of spring training there, but I just like his makeup. But listen, when you're talking about Marcus Stroman, I mean, this is a big time pitcher. We saw him pitch in the playoffs on the biggest stage possible against the Rangers and a few years back when they were good, and handled it very well. He's one of the elite pitchers in the game, and when you're looking at a rotation of all young guys and guys who are going to be on innings limits, that'd be a nice piece to throw in there, man. It really would.
All right, moving on. Our next pen pal, Jack.
I just want to say I agree with Tony that I'd love to have
Marcus Stroman,
but I that's too much for me to give up.
Wait, this is the same guy that, like, I thought you weren't like prospects things. What's you like usually not on the prospect bandwagon here?
I don't know. I just had three slushies and I got a headache.
I know. I can see the fading.
Sugar highs.
Oh, sugar highs kicking in. Yeah.
Oh, wow. My phone closed. Give me 1 second. Jack Malkoff. Now, I'm going to rephrase this question because I think he's being a little negative in this whole thing. So,
well, just give it to us out of pin.
Yeah, good question.
All right. What value is Greg Garcia adding to this team?
I saw that question, by the way. So I'm going to ask
you. Is that why you wanted me to do it?
No, the Dolphins are making their selection.
I think that was.
We need to wait for this one. Christian Wilkins.
The poor son of a gun. I don't know who he is. I don't know anything about him.
I believe it was.
But he sure is Natalie attired in his white sport coat as he comes up to the
quite
stage.
Quite dapper.
Yes.
There was a whole bunch of good defensive tackles and defensive ends out of Clemson.
Yeah, he's from
Clemson.
Was
he the one that was suspended?
Probably.
That was Lawrence. Okay. Let me answer that question.
The question was, what value is Greg Garcia adding to this team?
So I kind of take offense to this question because clearly Mike, what's his name?
Jack Malkoff.
Jack is asking that because he doesn't start.
Yes.
But Greg Garcia has been excellent off the bench. His spark starts have been excellent. And that's why you have a, that's why you bring a guy like him off the into your organization, because anytime you need a quality at bat late in the game, especially think about all the close games the Padres playing. He's been in the mix in all those as far as coming off the bench. He provides you some guys to be able to give guys some rest from here and there, which you need over a course of 162. It's not just the starters that are valuable. I think we've seen that in this game in the last few years. You need a strong bench in order to get through a season, and Greg Garcia definitely enhances the Padres' bench, no doubt about it.
Chris, what do you think?
I agree. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I don't think his numbers matter all that much, to be honest with you. The fact is Greg Garcia is always a threat coming off the bench. He is somebody, he has had so much success as a pinch hitter in his career that I think he's somebody the other team has to think a little bit about as you get later into a game. So I think he's a weapon, and the fact that he can fill in at almost every position and plays them all fine, you don't lose a whole lot with him in there. Every team needs a guy like this. So it doesn't have to be Greg Garcia, but in the Padres' case, it's Greg Garcia, and I think he's fitting his role just fine.
All right, let's go to our next pen
pal. Plus, plus, as somebody said the other day on television, he's from Valhalla High School.
Valhalla. Oh, Jesse Agler.
Oh, it was Jesse. Oh, well, I take it back then. I'm sorry. Jesse, I didn't mean it, man.
Valhalla.
Yeah. Sorry, Jesse.
It's technically Valhalla.
It's not technically.
It's not technically.
It is Valhalla.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah. All right. Our next pen pal is...
You know what's funny is I meant to tell him that.
Oh, you
when
did?
When he comes back home, I was going to say, hey,
all
man,
right,
just
but
so
now
you
you're going to tell him that I mentioned it on the radio and embarrassed him. I didn't mean to do that.
This one is a kind of a where are you at on this now, because we've talked about this a few times this year, but this is from Paul Scott. He says, is a trade for a veteran arm still a possibility, or how long will you ride the wave of youth if we are in contention for the postseason? Chris, you're up first.
I definitely think the trade for a veteran arm is a possibility. In fact, I would probably consider trying to get Marcus Stroman for Logan Allen. And no, I'm just joking, because I just denounced that trade. But yeah, I think as long as the Padres are making it in the hunt and you get into June, July, and some of these innings limits start to creep up, I think that A.J. Preller is going to be out there looking for something. I really do. Now, if the Padres slip way back, then it's a different story. But as long as they stay right in the hunt here, even if you weren't the Padres, you'd want another veteran arm. You know what I'm saying? But the Padres really need one because they don't have anything like that. So,
Tony,
yes.
Okay, Tony, what do you think?
There's a reason why A.J. said that he wanted to sit back and wait till June before and evaluate his roster before thinking about any moves. And I think that's the perfect way to go. The team is, as you said, one game out of first place right now. Ride the wave. You ride the wave as long as you can. I think in the back of A.J.'s mind, he knows that if the Padres are to contend this season, he's going to have to make a move at some point. So yeah. I just think that he is being patient right now because, listen, in a lot of cases, he may end up – so these guys may end up raising their value where he can get more than what he would early in the year. So just think about it. Think of the success that the rotation has had. Even though early on it was five, we're starting to see a couple more sixes and sevens here. The value could go up, and he could end up getting more if he waits.
All right. We have two more. We go to our next pen pal. This was actually someone who tweeted me. Shameless plug at Matt Scraby from Daniel Wheeler.
Shameless plug.
MATTSKRABY.
You know, I used to think it was shameless.
You just gave a whole spell out your whole name.
I used to think it was shameless to give out my Twitter address.
It's not.
Until I realized people only tweet me mean things. So why in the world would I give out my Twitter address anymore?
Good point. Well, Daniel Wheeler tweeted me, and he is asking, and Chris, you're up first. Actually, Tony's up first. Do you think the Padres should give up on Anderson Espinosa? This is coming off of his the announcement that he is going to get a second Tommy John surgery. Hold that thought.
Before I answer, don't know who he is. Chris Lindstrom, guard out of Boston College to the Falcons.
All right.
Just so you know, he's from Massachusetts.
And I guarantee you they're saying something like, oh, this is going to turn everything around. It's going to really improve Matt Ryan's run game. And now Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman will be tearing holes into the other defense.
His father played five years in the NFL, defensive end. His uncle played 4 years. His other uncle, Eric Lindstrom, played 2 years.
Wow,
so he comes from an offensive lineman family.
That's tremendous. That's great stuff.
Just in case you didn't know. Now, what was the question again?
Anderson Espinosa, do you think the Padres should give up on him?
I think right now it's kind of irrelevant. He can't pitch for at least a year. So at least at this point, you don't need to give up on him. Because
he's 21.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get it. He's had two Tommy Johns.
That's bad.
At the age of 21. There's only been one starter, I believe, to ever start as a pitcher with two Tommy Johns, Chris Capuano. So I don't see being a starter in his future at this point, but I would be hesitant to give up on a guy who is not going to be pitching for another year anyway.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
Yes, it's too early to give up on, and you just said he's 21. So
Tommy John surgeries is pretty sad for his career, really. It could be over.
It definitely could be, but I'm not going to just give up on him completely because it could not be over.
He's
21.
He's not costing that much money.
Exactly. Why give up on him then if he's not costing that much money?
All right, the last one before we wrap up here from Sonic and Kearney on Kearney Villa Road. It's from O'Brien McQuaid. Have no idea why he asked this question. Have no idea where this is coming from. Maybe an inside joke with Chris. But he said, will Chris consider changing his last name to Jell-O?
I was trying to figure this one out while I was reading. I was like, what?
Well, when I saw it, I said, this should be the first one, but I'll put it at the last. Best for last.
Chris, do you have any interest in changing your last name to Jell-O?
Do I even have an answer to that?
I wouldn't expect you to.
My mom's name is Joan.
Oh, there we go, Jell-O.
And that's spelled J-O-A-N. So her initial is J-L-O. So that's the closest I'm going to get to Jell-O.
Do you know?
There you go.
What's his name?
O'Brien McQuaid.
You know this guy?
I don't.
Huh. Maybe it's
the best I can do.
Maybe that's a burner name.
But I don't know why. Why wouldn't he ask me if I would change my name to Cello, since that's C-L-O?
No, I think he wants you to be named Chris Jell-O.
Oh, okay.
Which would be hilarious.
That would be pretty funny.
Would it be hilarious?
Going to the phone lines, Chris Jell-O here.
I don't think that's that funny, Chris. That's gravy.
It is pretty funny.
Is your pen pal session done?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Done. Thank you. Oh, wait. No, I need to name these guys. Thank you to Justin, Nick, Jack, Paul, and O'Brien, and also Daniel Wheeler for hitting me up on my Twitter at Matt Scraby. Mic drop.
Oh, I thought there was a close to this segment.
I just got an update on my iWatch. OSU's Dwayne Haskins draft party gets heated when Duke quarterback Daniel Jones goes to the Giants.
Oh, it got heated?
What does that even mean,
I don't know. There's a video with it, so I'm going to check it out while I let you guys rolling.
While you check that out, I'm going to mention one thing having to do with Ohio State that is certainly worth mentioning before we get off the air, and that is former Ohio State All-American basketball player and all-time great Boston Celtic, John Havlicek, passed away late this afternoon. We just found, I don't know how old he was.
I think it's 79.
79. He was one of the first in my era as a kid growing up. He's before you guys obviously started watching the NBA. But he was about as good of a player as I saw as a little kid for the Boston Celtics. So John Havlicek, one of the Hall of Famer and one of the great Celtics of all time, passed away today at the age of 79.
I believe it was 79.
Okay. So I wanted to get that in while you're checking out the...
Well, this has been fun.
Why would Dwayne Haskins get...
When you watch the video...
Ego.
Well, no, I don't think it's that. When you watch the video, I get the impression that it was like one of those last minute... Like, it was not last minute, but they probably had calls into both quarterbacks. Like, hey, we might take you with our pick here.
Oh, and they took the other
guy. And he took the other guy, and he doesn't... It's not like a disrespectful laugh. It's just kind of like a...
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
Chip on his shoulder material.
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Sonic. Thank you, Rob Picker, putting it all together. Thanks to everybody who came out to Sonic today to visit us. We appreciate all of you. Scraby, Gwen, Chris, Thomas, Will. Have a great weekend. We have a 3-day weekend. We won't talk to you again until Monday on 97.3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.